Our parish has the tradition of offering the Stations of the Cross after Mass every Sunday morning during Lent. The particular version of the stations that we use is a look at the stations through Mary's eyes. It's well put together, but there's one particular line in the meditations that always strikes me. I'll tell you what it is coming up next.
Helping you grow deeper on your spiritual journey. Welcome to The Inner Life with Patrick Conley.
Welcome to The Inner Life. Hey, we all need a daily boost to be faithful followers of our Lord, and that's why The Inner Life exists, helping you out in your journey of faith today. I'm Patrick Conley. Thanks for joining us. Our parish Stations of the Cross is, as I said, the stations through the eyes of Mary. It's called Mary's Way of the Cross, adapted from stations by Redemptorist Father Richard Fury. It's powerful and moving to watch Jesus make his way to his death and burial through the eyes of our Blessed Mother. Pervasive throughout the stations is Mary's understanding of how all of this, everything that our Lord was facing, it had to be. She knew it was all in service to a greater good. And while it's obvious that her knowing that didn't reduce the pain she felt at watching her son undergo such cruelty, it did temper all of her profound suffering with the trust that she also embodied, trust in God's larger plan. And I guess that's what brings about a particular line from Mary at the 14th station when Jesus is laid in the tomb. Here's how the meditation from our Blessed Mother begins. We brought Jesus' body to a tomb, and I arranged it there myself, silently weeping, silently rejoicing. Silently weeping, silently rejoicing. First time I heard that line, and to be honest, every time since, I've tried to place myself in Mary's shoes. Is it possible, in the face of such great pain and suffering, to also be rejoicing? Was she just relieved that it was all over? Or was it more than that? I think it was more than that. And moreover, I think her experience is not meant to be unique. Rather, it's an example, an invitation. When you face times in your life of profound pain and suffering, when you are weeping, there's also the invitation to rejoice. Now, not instead of weeping, not in spite of weeping, but in addition to weeping. To weep and rejoice together seems to me to be precisely the way that our Lord would have it. And all of this is founded on trust. And that's all why today on the show we're talking about finding joy and trust in the midst of suffering. Joining us as our spiritual director today is Sister Faustina Maria Pia. Sister Faustina entered the Sisters of Life in 2009, professing final vows in 2018, and she currently resides in New York, where she serves as the local superior of Annunciation Mother House. Sister Faustina, welcome to The Inner Life. Good to be speaking with you today.
Thanks so much. It's a joy to be with you.
Well, good. And that's a good thing because we're talking about trust and joy, right?
That's right.
It's a joy to be with you as well.
I didn't plan that.
Very good. Well, I'm glad that you're rejoicing now in this program because I am too. Very good to have you on. Well, we might have an idea, sister, of what trust in God looks like, but what is it really? I mean, how would you describe it? What does it mean to trust in God?
It's an excellent question, and I think so crucial, honestly, especially as we hit some very difficult realities, not only in personal lives and our stories and the sufferings that we encounter, but I think on larger levels of, just having trust broken. And many people are familiar with faith, and of course that's a theological virtue, this ascent to the person of Christ, and that's very beautifully articulated in places like the Catechism. But when you try to look up trust, it's a little bit less written out, so to speak. You won't find it defined, as it's more of a relational term. I'm very familiar with it and first became acquainted with it, so to speak, in a theological context because of the devotion that I have to my patron, St. Faustina, who Jesus revealed himself to, and really wanted her to be this messenger of mercy to say to the world, I'm not this wrathful God who's angry, but who's a father who misses you when you're not here, who wants you home and has this heart of mercy that is really pouring himself out to redeem us. And he would tell her to have a picture painted with the inscription, Jesus, I trust in you. Mm-hmm. And it's very, very particular, those words, because those words were a prayer that went with this belief of how to receive this unconditional love of God, this mercy of God. And there would be quotations from this apparition approved by the church that would say, you know, the greater one trusts, you know, the more mercy that they will receive. And he would describe trust as this vessel that pours this unconditional love into our hearts and heals our hearts. So Jesus was very much using that word, particularly in recent times and this apparition 100 plus years ago, to speak to our souls, to say, you know, these truths that you can learn about me, you know, our faith as Catholics is not just a set of truths, but it's a relationship with a person, this person of Jesus Christ. And if there are things that are blocking that relationship, as we know, every relationship that's difficult in our life, there could be, you know, real hindrances to growing in relationship. We don't want those to remain with our relationship with Jesus, because that really affects us negatively and it keeps us away from him. So learning what trust is in relationship with Jesus can really free our hearts from burdens. It can obviously carry us from this life into his arms forever in the next. So it's very important.
Yeah, and it's very important. But what about growing in trust? I mean, because we might trust the Lord and, you know, when things are going relatively well in the life, say, yeah, God, I'm glad for all you've provided for me. But it seems like, and maybe I'm wrong on this, but it seems like when times of suffering, especially if it's deep and profound suffering, right, that that's when it's really tough, because usually the questions that pop into my mind, at least, are like, Jesus, where are you? Why have you abandoned me in this moment when I need you the most?
Mm-hmm. No, it's very true, and it's very natural to have that response. And I think Jesus is not afraid of that response, too. He knows that we have a limited vision, so to speak. We can only see our little patch of grass and are wondering, you know, where this is coming from, this suffering, maybe, this innocent suffering oftentimes, or unexplained situations that we don't know the direction that we're supposed to take. And I think that is really one of the most intimate moments of our lives, these junctures where we are suffering real pain, real questions in our hearts, real wrestling. And the invitation that I have seen in all these places that is most important, and I think it follows if you look at the Gospels and the stories of the saints, is that Jesus isn't inviting us to come to him so that he can necessarily take away the pains and difficulties. You know, obviously, suffering, as we see, is a part of redemption. It is part of the healing remedy for original sin. So oftentimes, it's part of the journey. But coming to him in those places, which, you know, this wrestling and this question is very good, coming to that person that you're in a relationship that you're having a hard time with, in this case, would be Jesus. He meets us in that very real experience and what you're feeling, what you're going through in that suffering, and wants you to experience his presence there, and his presence changes the whole dynamic of that situation. And so it's primarily in the times that we are suffering the most that maybe we realize, I don't really know God, and that's what I experienced, you know, and it's for him to say, trust in me. I say, well, what does that mean to trust in you? Like, what are you going to do about this situation? And I want clarity, and I want this to be over. This is no longer fun for me, you know?
Yeah.
Then I realize, well, who are you, and who are you to me? So trust really demands a kind of leaning into this seeking of who Jesus is and this opening of my heart precisely in that difficult moment. But when there's nowhere else to lean on, so to speak, it's perfect to say, Jesus, I need you to reveal yourself to me and your love in this place, which is really the most healing gift that we can receive in this life. And it might come through a time of suffering.
Mm. Yeah, good and wise words from our spiritual director today, Sister Faustina Maria Pia. And we are talking about finding trust and joy during times of difficulty, during times of great suffering. What does trusting God mean to you? How have you practiced trust in your life? In the small things and in the big things, are there particular scriptural passages, perhaps, that help you to trust God more? If you have things that you rely on in growing in trust in the Lord, give us a call and join the conversation. Our number here on The Inner Life is 888-914-9149, sponsored by the Catholic Order of Foresters. Again, the number is 888-914-9149. If you'd prefer, you can send us an email, innerlife@relevantradio.com. It seems to me, sister, that this trust that Jesus invites us to, that he invites us to perhaps, as you were just saying, most profoundly in times of suffering, it seems to me that, as you said, it's very important. But if we're to find joy at all, which we do find in the letters of St. Paul, for example, to, you know, mm-hmm. and in the letter of St. James, to consider it pure joy, right, when we face all sorts of trials and difficulties, then it seems that that joy is finds its foundation on that trust that you're talking about, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and like I said, yeah, you know, well, joy is a fruit. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. So it's not just a superficial happiness that we would think of maybe in the worldly sense, but fruit denotes a union that from which it, you know, blossoms. And that's why, you know, what I previously mentioned is not, you know, a casual thought, but this dialogue of your heart to Christ is pivotal for trust to grow in. And I mean, I love to think sometimes when I'm having a hard time or there's a difficult situation to kind of have some time of prayer where I can imagine a place or a setting that I can have a casual conversation with the Lord, like going for a walk, like picturing myself going for a walk in a place that I enjoy or some place beautiful and Jesus coming up alongside of me. You know, God, he can handle our feelings and our, you know, even questions, whatever was going on, because this is a real relationship. It has to be founded on what we're really experiencing. And then he can kind of meet us in that place. And yes, I think joy is, like I said, it comes from this union, this joy in his presence. And that sounds maybe trivial, like, oh my gosh, God's here, but I'm still suffering or something. But I love that you started the show with the Stations of the Cross because, mm-hmm. I mean, I was Catholic my whole life, but I was never looking forward to Lent or the Stations of the Cross.
And that's
so
one year,
you know, our work with pregnant women who are vulnerable, we see amazing, vulnerable women with such courage, you know, and their stories, and they've suffered so much, but it isn't easy always. We're really entering into their life with them and their struggles. And of course they're free. You know, we're not forcing anybody to do anything. And there can be real sorrows that we experience with these women that are quite difficult. And I remember going through this experience with one woman and just really hitting such extreme sorrow, you know, grieving with her. And for weeks, you know, just as soon as I had a quiet moment or even, you know, when I was in the midst of something, I'd be holding back tears, you know, just a shattering experience to this woman's heart and so many things. And the only thing, surprisingly, that I found refuge in was the Stations of the Cross. It was amazing. Huh. It really transformed my image of that prayer because I think, you know, when I started to pray it in this place, I found such comfort that Jesus was sharing my pain. And it wasn't that he was speaking specific words, but as I entered into it, I knew that he knew the pain of this woman. He knew the pain of my heart, and he was carrying it. He was giving himself in response to it. And there was a movement towards this full gift that was going to end in victory, you know? So I didn't figure it all out. The pain didn't vanish, but I started praying the Stations of the Cross every day because I wanted to be with him in it, and I wanted to experience the light that only his presence could came. And I also think there was a joy in the sense of, I almost felt like, not immediately, but I almost felt like he was awaiting me in his sorrow, that I was joining him in the sorrow that he was experiencing and that I was interceding for this woman as well with him, that he was no longer alone suffering this, you know? And so there was a joy, I think, that I was giving to him and that he was sharing with me that I really experienced, yeah, in the midst of a real time of grief, honestly.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, sister, I think that there is such profundity in that. I think it is an invitation from our Lord to be sharing in his sufferings and to realize that he is sharing in yours too when we face that profound suffering that comes to every person's life, certainly. But in contrasting that, well, maybe not contrasting it, but complementing that with, for example, a passage from Luke's gospel where Jesus explains how, you mentioned God as a father before, so how does a good father take care of his children? So, you know, he says these famous words, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. But it seems like, in my experience anyway, that sometimes I ask and I don't receive, or sometimes I seek and I don't find. Sometimes I knock and that door just remains sealed shut. So what's going on in those types of situations?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, on a natural level, we could definitely come to that assumption, you know, that we're not being heard. God is not giving us, if he hears it, he's not giving us what we are asking. But I do believe strongly and firmly that he is being true to us, not necessarily the particulars of everything we're asking, but he's giving us what a good father knows is best for us. I got a letter this week from a prisoner who is praying for freedom. He's asking God for his freedom. And yet in the same letter, he said that he found a community, which was a huge gift, of other men that were praying. And as he was writing about that and the courage it took to kind of call forth if anybody was interested in seeking God there and in this place of awful pain, he's describing a type of freedom that actually he's encountering in this group. And it made me think when you were talking about it, because I think, you know, God sees the deepest desires of our hearts, so we could ask for maybe something that is good, and it's not necessarily an evil thing, but it's maybe more surface level to what he wants for us and what we most deeply want. So he's always responding to the deepest desires of our heart. He's always responding to us as his children and giving us, sometimes through veiled ways, what it is truly best for us, and what, at the end of the day, if we knew to be precise of what to ask, that we would be asking for.
Yeah. Well, I'm intrigued by where our conversation is going to go from here, sister, because you've laid out a lot of good foundation for our discussion on finding trust and joy during times of difficulty with our spiritual director today, Sister Faustina Maria Pia, a part of the Sisters of Life. Are you finding it difficult to trust God? Does he seem absent? Does joy seem to be just unattainable during the midst of the suffering that you're undergoing right now? Give us a call and be part of the conversation with Sister Faustina at 888-914-9149. Again, 888-914-9149. Or send us an email, innerlife@relevantradio.com. We'll be back with more of the show right after this. Our sponsor, the University of Dallas, the Catholic University for Independent Thinkers, invites high school juniors, seniors, and recent graduates to study the great books this summer at UD's two-week-long Arete program while earning 3 hours of college credit. Info at relevantradio.com/UDallas.
I'm going to keep on.
Welcome back to The Inner Life here on Relevant Radio and RelevantRadio.com and the Relevant Radio app. Talking today about trusting in Jesus, finding trust in God and joy during times of difficulty and suffering, even great suffering as well. If you have times that maybe you're facing right now that make it hard to trust in God or hard to find joy, give us a call and join the conversation with our spiritual director today, Sister Faustina Maria Pia of the Sisters of Life, by calling 888-914-9149. Again, 888-914-9149, or sending us an email, innerlife@relevantradio.com. Let's take a phone call, sister. We got Bob calling in from Chicago. Bob, welcome to The Inner Life. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to say that, you know, I've suffered from mental illness for many years, and it's been very, very, very painful. Really, really intensely painful and difficult. And for a long time, I was really angry at God. But I've learned over the course of time that trust and joy are not something that are just given to us. There's something, they are things that are cultivated through circumstances that make them necessary. And those circumstances are almost always trying and difficult and painful. And you don't just pray for trust or joy and God waves his magic wand and you have it. It's something that you grow in and cultivate over time and through trying in difficult circumstances. And now I can look back on my mental illness and all the pain I've suffered, and I really can rejoice in it because through it, I've learned something that's so valuable. And that is that I know I can trust in Christ no matter what I'm faced with and no matter what happens to me down the line. And that gives me such peace and such hope and such confidence. And I can really, really rejoice. And now I can even rejoice in my suffering because I know it has meaning and value because it's united with Christ's suffering, wow, which gives it that meaning and value. So.
Wow, thank you so much for sharing. That is amazing. It really is. These are invaluable graces that you've received. And of course, we're sorry to hear about your suffering, but like you said, there is an amazing gift that was offered to you and you received it through that, that many who haven't experienced maybe this type of suffering or haven't met Christ in their suffering, have received this freedom that you're describing and that saying that no matter what happens, Christ is going to be there and he's faithful and there's nothing you can endure without him. So I would say I've had a similar experience in my own life where I really resented God for allowing some suffering in my life and not even realizing that I was resenting him, but it kind of came out and in a time of prayer and I said, I would never let something like this happen to somebody that I cared about, you know, and realizing, oh my goodness, that was a statement against God. And I think it was a grace to even desire that we trust in God or even desire to have a conversation with God. That's the first grace. But then in hearing myself think it out loud, I really gave it to Jesus, and he lifted that. I said, I don't want to resent you. I want to believe that there was something good in this for me. And sure enough, he was able to show me, and this gratitude that I had never experienced before for this situation, it was in some ways, yes, gifted, but it came through this wrestling and this encountering and bringing it to the Lord. But this gratitude replaced that resentment to say, oh my goodness, this wasn't for naught. He saw it and he's using this for his glory. And this can really make my heart so much more compassionate and open in a way that it could have never been otherwise if it hadn't suffered in this way. So I think those are an amazing, powerful witness that you share and that you can really be a vessel of that to others. So
yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Bob. Thank you for the call and the wisdom that you have shared with us. And I think Bob's right, sister, that that there's really, if we're seeking to grow in trust, it seems like the Lord, as Bob put it, doesn't just wave his magic wand and give us more trust, right? I mean, it seems like that it rises specifically out of those situations where we find it difficult to trust, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And yeah, as we were mentioning early in the show, like there is something mysterious because we don't see the full breadth of God's plan. We're just here in our little corner. But yeah, there could be something that this suffering really is for our good in some way. So that encountering Christ in it brings that freedom and rising above this world and the fears that we can face in it that really is what we truly are made for. So. And it breaks open our hearts to the places that we might have been spiritually blind and see what's really truly important, that being with Christ and that reliance on him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Sister, we also had an email come in from Mary who writes, we really suffer when we constantly see friends with grandchildren and their joys. We're happy for them and want the best for them, but we're hurting for us. So how do we pray through this frequent sadness? How do we trust that he has something better in mind for us? Do we have to wait for heaven? I think that's an honest question.
Mm, that is really powerful. You know, you can feel the pain in that. So,
yeah.
No, it's definitely, that is a very real reality and something that's not just a one-time thing and then you can kind of work through that event. This is an ongoing thing, which is always particular in that challenge, you know, this desire for grandchildren, which is so deep in the heart of this couple, I'm sure, and on a natural level. I do think there is a special entrustment of sorts in this suffering, because it's a natural joy. It's one of the greatest joys that we can have on this side of heaven, right? This offspring and your children, to have children. So it isn't unseen by the Lord, but I think what God is asking of you is to lean into it in the sense of saying, Jesus, you know, this is a tremendous suffering, and it is affecting us so deeply, personally, daily, like you said. What is your invitation for us? Not what is the loss. We know what the loss is and the pain is, but what is your invitation? What are you offering? If you are not offering this, what are you offering? What is your word to say? You know, there is always an invitation in the pain, not merely to just experience the pain, but that Jesus has words of life that he's always speaking. And of course, the path in so many ways to life is through death, as we see, you know, at the end of this Lenten season. But in the midst of that pain and what feels like emptiness and sorrow, to really lean in and say, Jesus, I want to hear your invitation. What are your words of life here for me, for my husband, for my family, that I can anchor myself in the truth of that goodness versus just kind of dealing with the daily toll of that sorrow, which of course he is going to meet you in, but he wants more than just meeting you there. He wants to speak some words of life and invitation.
Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate that response, and Mary, I hope that's helpful, but one of the couple things that I would like to follow up with you, sister, on that. First of all, the lean into it. I took that in part to mean, to lean into the pain. I think oftentimes we, when we're facing times of suffering, we want to, you know, medicate it. We want to get through it. We want to get over it, because it doesn't feel good to be in pain. It doesn't feel good to suffer. And but yet it seems like part of the invitation there is not to medicate, not to. Now, I'm not saying we're suffering for suffering's sake, right? I'm not saying that we are inviting and placing ourselves in suffering particularly, so much as I'm saying that, look, this is a circumstance in life, and it's not something that we're meant to avoid or ignore, but we're meant to lean into it, as you said.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's true. That's definitely true. And in some ways, that will be easy, and in some ways that will be hard, you know.
Yeah, right.
We try to squirrel out of those things, but yeah, I do think that the encounter with Jesus there is very palpable and real when we do have the courage to lean in.
Yeah. And then the other thing you said is asking Jesus, what are you offering? And I think that's a great way of doing that. But in my experience, when I ask that question, the Lord usually does respond, but it's usually not immediate. I mean, there's usually, it takes some time. It takes some hindsight, perhaps, some perspective that's gained after a period of time has passed. So, I mean, is that something, I suppose that's another way in which we're allowed or we're invited to trust in the Lord, is to submit ourselves to his timing as well.
Yes. No, I definitely agree. There's a certain detachment that, yeah, this relationship entails, because God is divine and he has bigger plans and ultimately the best plans in mind. So at the end of the day, we would love to have something immediate, especially in this culture where we're used to such immediate things. But it's true, it's very much variable. And something like this, it could be a long-suffering reality. At the same time, there is a movement in this leaning in that God doesn't want it to be stagnant. Like, there is a journey that we're on with Jesus, and when we're suffering with something with Jesus, there is a movement to it that he can break through and bring joys, whether it is, oh my goodness, all of a sudden being able to really laugh and be with another's grandchildren, or to, you know, be with somebody who maybe isn't a tiny child but doesn't have family, and there's like a joy that pierces through, you know, that when we are true and faithful to the graces that God's given us in the suffering and meeting it and offering it and trying to live it with him, that there's movement in that, which can help sustain us as we are waiting to hear more earnestly, yeah, how God is really seeing this for our good and has something to offer us and our family in this trial.
Mm. Our spiritual director today, Sister Faustina, is talking us through finding trust and joy during times of difficulty, during times of suffering. If you're facing something or have faced something in terms of suffering or difficulty and you're finding it difficult to find trust and joy, give us a call and ask your questions of Sister Faustina at 888-914-9149. Again, 888-914-9149. Or maybe you want to share how God did meet you in times of suffering. We'd love some encouragement in that direction as well. Give us a call for that as well at 888-914-9149. Let's go now to Maria calling in from California. Good morning, Maria. Thanks for calling in The Inner Life.
Hi, thank you. Thank you so much. This is a subject that really touches my heart. I have a teenage son. He has been battling cancer for 3 years now, more than 3 years now. And it has been a roller coaster, of course, and he's still on the fight. But when I first was diagnosed, my first prayer was like I was by myself, and they said, "Why my son, oh Lord?" And I heard this clear and loud voice in my head, "He's my son." And even though it's hard sometimes, but the Lord reminded me that my son is God's son. I am not alone in this battle, and that I have to trust in him. They gave me so much hope. And then sometimes when I feel like despair, I just say, "God, take care of your son. I put in your hands." I don't know how it came into my hands, the Surrender Novena by Father Dolindo.
Mm-hmm.
And it taught me so much how to surrender. It's like Jesus talking to us and saying how little we trust and how we don't go to the doctor and tell him how to treat us. And sometimes you go to God and tell him how to treat us. So that is something also gives me comfort. And the best thing of all is my son. His faith has grown so much and he inspires us so much. He is so pure, innocent, and he inspires a lot of people. There are like hundreds of people praying for him, and everybody that meets him say how he is inspiration. So I know I have to trust in the God that he has good plan for my son, maybe not in his life, maybe in the other, but I have to trust.
Mm-hmm. And wow, Maria, thank you for sharing. That is, it's an amazing, amazing story to hear. Yeah, this raw prayer come from your heart, you know, "Jesus, why my son?" And then to hear those words, you know, "This is my son." And I think that captures something so sturdy about the heart of God, that he is holding each of us in his hands like we are the only one, you know, and that it's very true. We don't know what's best for us. And even if we did, we wouldn't know how to even ask for it and how to acquire it. So that his love is holding all of that in us. So I admire your courage and your strength, that you, yes, still this is a very difficult situation, but that you have something that you're clinging to, this incredible trust that God has a good plan for your son, and that you can start to see already these fruits of his growing relationship with the Lord, and others being drawn into that too as they encounter him and pray for him. So we will be praying for you, because a mother's love is one of the most fierce in the world. So so it is beautiful to see it united with this love of Christ there. But we'll definitely be praying, because that is a journey ahead, I'm sure, still.
Yeah, absolutely. And Maria, I was just going to say what Sister just said, which is, yeah, you have our prayers, certainly, and very many people are now praying for you and your son. So thank you for calling in and sharing that, and for your profound trust in the face of this profound suffering as well. That's what we're talking about today, is finding trust and joy during times of difficulty, during times of suffering. If you have questions about finding God in the midst of something that you're facing right now, give us a call at 888-914-9149 and ask your questions of Sister Faustina Maria Pia, our spiritual director for today. Or maybe you have a testimony about how you've dealt with suffering in your own past and how God has met you there. 888-914-9149 is our phone number. innerlife@relevantradio.com is our email address. We'd love to hear from you. We're going to take another short break, but we'll be back with more of the conversation right after this. Stay with us. Our sponsor, the University of Dallas, the Catholic University for Independent Thinkers, invites high school juniors, seniors, and recent graduates to study the great books this summer at UD's two-week-long Arete program while earning 3 hours of college credit. Info at relevantradio.com/UDallas.
Lord, if I ever needed someone, I need you. Lord, if I ever needed someone, I need you.
Amen to that. We are back here on The Inner Life. My name is Patrick Conley. My thanks to Nick Stentovich, our producer, and Miranda Siniceros taking your phone calls today. I'm so grateful that we have Sister Faustina Maria Pio with us to talk us through finding trust and joy during times of difficulty because, you know, we all face them. We all face times of extreme suffering in our lives that could be the result of so many different things that happen to us, some of our own choosing and some of the, just what life has in store for us and what the Lord has allowed in our life. But trust and joy is what we're invited to. And Sister, I think that's one of the things I want to get into, which is when we're facing a time of trial, of suffering, is there anything practical that we can do in that time to help increase our trust in the Lord?
Yes, I think especially there's a few ways, but especially as we're in this season of Lent, approaching Holy Week very shortly.
Yeah.
I think one of the greatest graces that we've been given through the church, obviously, is the sacraments, the sacrament of mercy, this sacrament of confession. In the diary, St. Faustina writes that Jesus told her, the greatest miracles take place and are incessantly repeated.
Mm.
He said, and that this encouragement to really approach the sacrament with trust, not worrying about what kind of priest it is or excusing myself from this or that, but just with all simplicity to say, I'm going back to my Father who loves me and he's waiting for me there. He wants to just make it as easy as possible for me just to come in and speak these words. And he makes it stunningly simple. We walk in with this burden that we're carrying and these struggles that we're facing. We're asking for grace and he meets us in that place and promises to be yoked with us, and that burden will be different, and there will be a light that illumines it. And I think, too, if there is a burden that I'm suffering and that I'm carrying that is really heavy, maybe it could be described in other words like a real like rancor, almost like a bitterness, but a real penetrating heaviness, I really want to bring that to the Lord in a special way, because when Jesus speaks about carrying the burdens in our lives, he says in Matthew, come to me, all who labor and are heavy burdened. He's asking for those who are heavy burdened to come to him. He said, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I'm gentle and lowly in heart. And he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I've experienced a lifting of the heavy burdens actually profoundly in confession. When I go to confession with trust, because there's often a little bit more of myself that I'm carrying than God really wants me to. Maybe I've taken some self-reliance into this picture of this suffering, and I'm trying to maybe grasp for control, which is very human, or not inviting or receiving help, or refusal of forgiveness. These things that are so natural on a natural level when we're experiencing pain. But when we go to the sacrament, we ask the Holy Spirit to really illumine, like, where we can receive this flood of grace and this lifting of that heaviness. Like we said before, the burdens might still be there, but there's going to be a very different feel, and we can have a lightness in his presence and carrying that with him. He can take off things that we weren't intended to carry that maybe we are carrying. So real encouragement for everyone, especially as we approach Holy Week, to really come to that sacrament, maybe with fresh eyes, to say, Jesus, please unload whatever's on my back that is not of you, and help me to really experience your tenderness of a father who wants me to be close to him and be near him and be freed this Easter season.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I appreciate that, Sister. One of the things, too, when you're talking about bringing it to the Lord in prayer, and even something that we might even, when we're not in times of great suffering or great pain, how we might increase our trust. Well, for instance, so I constantly need to be increasing in humility. That's one thing that the Lord has revealed to me time and again. So I turn to the Litany of Humility prayer. So We need something like a litany of trust. Have you ever heard of anything like that, Sister Faustina?
Yes, actually, I have. Yes, no. There is a litany of trust out there, and God gave it to me because I needed it, and I definitely suffered in my life in a way that I didn't realize that I had really broken that trust and hadn't been open in that channel of communication with the Lord and resented and held things there that were blocking my growth and in that relationship. And so as I pleaded for clarity in a certain situation of suffering, God gave me clarity on something so much bigger, which is this relationship with God that I needed. And he asked me to write this prayer, which has really helped me tremendously. And you can find it searching it on our website, sistersoflife.org, or just Googling it. But the Litany of Trust is a short prayer that really rectifies where we could kind of be believing lies at the end of every day that either God's not good or I'm not good. And those lies really can seep in and distort our vision of things and make us drift away from our true home, which is this place of unconditional love of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very good. Well, and Nick has told me that he'll put a link to the Litany of Trust by Sister Faustina in the show notes as well. So check that out at relevantradio.com/innerlife. Let's go back to the phones now. Jovita is calling in from California. Jovita, thanks for calling in the Inner Life. Welcome.
Thank you for taking my call. I just need an advice. Actually, my husband and I have been married for 27 years, and we're going through a very big crisis in our marriage. He had already asked me for a divorce. I pray to God. Yeah, I pray to God. I'm doing my fasting throughout the land, treading water. But I feel like I'm in the desert, walking with God. And I just say to him that we are on God's hands. I told him to come and join me for the fasting. He doesn't want. And I said, well, I'm leaving it to God's hands. And I said, don't talk to me about divorce because this is hurting me so much. And this is like every day reminds me of what is going to happen. So I need your advice.
Mm-hmm. Wow, I'm so sorry to hear about that. That is a tremendous suffering, and I can't imagine. But I do think there's something powerful that you are reaching out for God's help. You know, this is a desert, like you said, but you are speaking to him as if he's, you know, right there, and he is. I want to encourage you to just ask day to day, Jesus, I don't need your grace for tomorrow. I want your grace just for today. I can meet you in the suffering just today. I don't know if I have it in me to do tomorrow, but I'm just asking for today. Today, I'm living today. And there's something very mysterious about, you know, our human relationships, because we cannot control another person. We cannot force them to be one way or to not do this or to join you with this. So there's a real reverence that God gives each of us that we have to also relinquish, and we cannot control another, you know. So here you are in this marriage, and you can have the peace of saying, I'm going to do what I know God is asking me to do, is I'm going to pray and fast. I think that's beautiful. And at the same time, the heart can be overwhelmed if you look into the future, you know. But God is saying, no, don't keep looking far down the road. Just stay in today. Stay in today. My love for you today, being faithful to what I'm asking you for today, and how I can love God and love my husband today, and to have your heart rest in just what is today. Because I think the overwhelming thing is, yeah, this huge, you know, question, what will happen in the future? But it is almost crushing if you think of all of that, and trying to carry that every day is very hard. So I commend you, yeah, for this beautiful generosity of heart to be making sacrifices and to be praying on your husband's behalf, to be clinging him. But I would definitely join you in prayer, but to say, yeah, Jesus, just for today, you know, give me the graces and my husband just for today, and to really be intent on receiving today.
Jovita, our hearts are breaking for you, and knowing that that's such a painful situation that you find yourselves in. But again, rest assured of the prayers of myself, Sister Faustina, and all our listeners as well in the midst of facing this trial, that you would continue. I mean, it sounds like you are making great progress in trusting in God, as difficult as that can be when we're facing suffering. So we commend you for that. And don't forget to call in and to ask for the prayers across the nation, either with Drew when he prays the Chaplet of Divine Mercy at 3 p.m. Central, or with Father Rocky and Maggie when they pray the Family Rosary Across America at 7 p.m. Central here on Relevant Radio. Call in and make your request known at that time, too, and have so many other people, well, praying for you. So thank you so much for the call, Jovita. God bless you, and we will continue to hold you up in our prayers. Let's see if we can take one more phone call. Georgina is calling in from Seattle, Washington. Georgina, good morning. Thanks for calling in the Inner Life.
Good morning. My heart really goes out to this lady that just called. I was doing the novena of abandonment, and maybe she can use that too. It's just so difficult. But my situation was that I had cancer during COVID. And it was the most, I mean, it was difficult, but I really felt a lot of times when I would just lay there and I would think, Lord, what do you want from me for this? What can I do to not even lessen the pain, but who can I offer this for? Mm-hmm. And I was always thinking of my dad and my brother who are not of the faith anymore, but that's what I held on to. And just offering it for my children, and it did really make things easier. The whole process was not easy. And I would, you know, it's difficult. But a blessing in so many amazing ways. So many ways. And I'm so grateful. And I think he still has me here for a reason. So I'm very grateful.
Yeah, that's beautiful that you could make an offering of love in the midst of that suffering. It's a pretty remarkable grace. So I think God is really, yeah, he blessed your heart for that, and he's blessing your family for that. And his plan is always that suffering, reveals a deeper place in our hearts, and it is calling forth an invitation of love. I definitely agree with that. And when it is experienced as that, like you said, it changes the meaning of it. And you love your family, so what would you not do for them in a certain sense? I can almost hear. So that was an incentive for you to say, okay, yes, if this is what would help them, then I want to help them, you know? So it is, yeah, it's such a beautiful outward gaze and a really sign of God's penetrating presence in your heart that you could be in that very isolating time, suffering what you did, to be thinking about others, which was, absolutely his will that, yeah, he could pierce through that darkness and be with you. And yeah, has you here for another reason. I'm convinced of that too. Yes. So we'll be praying for your family as well.
What a great example you've given to us all, Georgina, that when the suffering comes our way, not to ask the Lord, all right, who can I give this up for? Who can I offer it up for? And a great example and a great reminder that the Lord invites us to do just that as well, to make our suffering redemptive in the lives of others who really need it. Yeah. So thank you, Georgina, for the phone call. Sister Faustina, it's been great having this conversation with you. Thank you for the ways that you're letting the Lord continue to use you in your ministry. And if we might, we'd like to ask you for a prayer as we close the show, please.
Sure. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Lord, there are many things in our hearts, and we come before you, we adore you, but we ask most of all for the grace to truly entrust our whole lives to you, whatever is on our hearts, our minds, asking for the tenderness of your touch, this consistent, loving gaze upon us to really illumine the darkness of our suffering. And we ask Blessed Mother to walk the rest of this journey of Lent, that may we truly find the new life that you have for us this Easter. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, sister. Thank you for joining us too. Till next time, grace and peace.